go spread the word. When you get a fresh, hot McCrispy from McDonald's and you can feel the heat coming through the bag, don't try to wait till you get home. Always respect hot chicken. The McCrispy, only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to the 580th episode of the Pokemon Podcast. It's super effective. I am your host, Steve, and I am not in Japan anymore, but I'm tired. With me, unrelated to Japan, with me is Hannah.
I'm not in New York anymore. I am also tired.
We are recording at night this time. Podcast at night. Greg is also here.
I am also here. I am slightly tired. I didn't go anywhere, but I will be in Atlanta next weekend, so I'm going to be pre-tired for that trip.
Oh, before I forget, I will be at PAX next weekend. I don't know why.
I don't know why either.
No, I do know why, because I got invited to some secret thing that I can't talk about yet. It's not that exciting, I promise. And then Nintendo was like, are you coming to the Nintendo Live thing we're doing? And I was like, are you paying for me? They're like, no, but we'll give you a free ticket. And I was like,
all right,
well, I got to go to this thing too, so I might as well go to both, I guess. I'll be at PAX. I think we gave away some tickets.
Do you actually have a media pass on the floor, or are you just going to be like lurking around the outside?
No, I got a media pass. I did get approved for that, and then I got a pass. Maybe they're giving me a guest pass for the Nintendo Live thing. I don't know. So maybe I don't even know what the Nintendo Live thing is. It's the first year they're doing it. And then I got a meeting on Thursday, and then I have to run from that meeting to like host Mewtwo raids. Hey, first bit of news here. this is a Pokemon show. Not gonna lie, this is gonna be a very go heavy Pokemon show since Hannah got back from GoFest New York. I mean, I talked already about my Osaka experience, but GoFest Global was this past weekend, and Greg and I dedicated 16 hours to that. I think Hannah skipped the second.
The second day.
we'll get to that, but we'll get through the little bit of news here real quick. Up show notes, but it's real basic news. So first bit of news is Mewtwo is gonna debut in 7-star raids this week. We don't know what Mewtwo's moveset is. We never know that until 5 minutes after Mewtwo will appear. It should, for the US people, be on Thursday night because these raids do go off UTC time. That being said, Anubis, which is somebody who does a lot of data analysis on Pokemon games, says that when you bring your Mew to a battle, its HP should increase by 50%, and then its defense, special defense, speed, attack, special attack should increase by 20% if you do bring it against Mewtwo. That ultimately makes Mew the undeniable choice to bring to Mewtwo. I know there are raids for like Hatterene and Grimmsnarl. Surprise, Mew can do everything those Pokemon can do.
And more.
Yeah, and they're doing like Blissey raids, and like Mew is just a better Blissey literally just because Mewtwo's Psystrike is so strong against Blissey, because Psystrike is based off of your defense, and Blissey has a super high special defense, but Blissey's defense is the equivalent to a Pidgey's defense. So Psystrike is really strong against Blissey, assuming that Mewtwo has Psystrike, which is technically its signature move. I don't know. Signature moves are weird. They'll like give a Pokemon a signature move and then take it away the next generation. It's so weird, but whatever. Bring a Mew. If you don't know what to put on a Mew, Acid Spray is really good. And Struggle Bug is really good. The other two moves, I don't know. If you're a Ghost Mew, do Shadow Ball. If you're a Dark Mew, do Dark Pulse. If you're a Bug Mew, use Pollen Puff. If you're none of that,
I'm
consider
a dark
changing
Mew,
your
baby.
Terror type, maybe.
I'm a dark Mew with a dangerous past.
by the time I should have a general Mew raid build. That should go up on Tuesday if you're listening to the podcast on Monday. But there's a lot of variety, and you'll probably actually want to invest in HP because of the 50% HP boost. I did run the numbers, and actually HP is better than special defense. So I'll make a whole video for that. Second bit of news here, and the best news of the show. I love our weekly Pokemon Sleep segment. Version 1.0.6 is out. Good sleep day also on the horizon here. That'll be August 30th to celebrate 10 million downloads. That's a lot of downloads. Players will obtain 1,000 sleep points, a good camp ticket, 3 ingredient ticket, and 5 Poke Biscuits for free. You just got to update the app and then click the little gift button under the main menu, and then you'll get your stuff.
I'm loving all the free stuff. The team that makes this is fantastic.
Yeah, select button pretty good at mobile games, would have guessed after Magikarp.
I mean,
they're
doing communication well, they're doing free gifts well. It just feels good to be actively playing this game.
You know, what you do is you see what Niantic's doing, and then you do the opposite.
You hire people.
I don't actually know how many people work at Select Button. I have no clue how big their team is. Niantic had, like, at one point, like 1,000 people working for them, but they also had like 5 games going. Had.
Past tense. Yep.
Who knows how many they got now? I think that Monster Hunter game's in beta. We don't have to spend a lot of time on sleep. I do want to know, though, Hannah, you are on the premium. Now that you're on the premium for, what, almost 2 weeks now, right?
Yep, it actually already ended. And okay. Because I canceled it immediately, I didn't roll over.
Okay.
Good job.
Did the 2 weeks not convince you that it was, like, did you
enjoy it? It did make it more enjoyable, yeah.
Oh,
I mean,
it did.
Getting enough sleep points every day, because usually I'm getting between 50 and 75. Otherwise, mm-hmm. Getting 150 or 175 just felt better. But other than that, I just played the game the same way. I mean,
the special biscuit every day didn't help either.
It was fine. It was fine. It's a fun game. I'm enjoying the game with or without the premium, honestly.
Yeah, I still really like that game a whole bunch.
Have either of you gotten shinies?
No.
Nope.
Okay. Yep, nope, me neither.
No.
A bunch of people have, though.
Yeah, yeah. I've always kind of, like shinies are still not, this is like, how do I frame this? Like, shinies seem to, like, drive Pokemon Go a lot, but, like, a very, like, hardcore, already vocal base of Pokemon Go. And I think that's, like, the same for main series games, where, like, the most vocal fans also probably dabble in shinies. But overall, like, shiny Pokemon, or people who like to shiny hunt, is still in the minority of, like, fans. Like, there are plenty of people who go through a game, play it, never see a shiny, but they're like, I beat that Pokemon game, and then they just put it down and, I don't know, pick up like Elden Ring or Fortnite or something, right? Like,
yeah, but it's an exciting surprise in the morning and sleep, and yeah, guaranteed catch.
It is, but I don't think the shinies alone is, like, I'm always under the impression, like, just because a Pokemon game has shinies doesn't mean it, like, that alone is a selling point to drive people to it.
It is not a feature that sells copies. It is just a nice thing in there, but it's not bringing people through the door.
Yeah, like, it might bring you through the door, and then you go, man, I don't like this gameplay loop, and then you go right
right back out that door.
Yeah, I'd be curious if there's somebody that's like, I'm only playing this game for shinies, and they've been sleeping for like 40 days, and they haven't gotten a single one.
I've been in a coma
yet.
For 7 days, and I've not gotten a shiny.
Yeah, I like it a lot. Sans a shiny, I'm still having.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in like this.
I rolled over at like 3 a.m. last night and realized I forgot to turn on Pokemon Sleep. And I just pressed the button at maybe 2:55 a.m. and didn't get all my sleep recorded, but I got some because I remembered it.
Oh. If you had that premium pass, you could go back and adjust.
You could go back and change that for no benefit.
I'm in like this weird part of sleep where I now have way too much ingredients. So I actually spent my... I haven't bought any gems, by the way. I've only got the gems you earn for free, but I've used my gems to upgrade my ingredient pouch. So instead of holding 100, I hold 140 now, and I actually really like it because I feel
like
I...
Have you upgraded your pot, though?
No, but I have a... No, the pot is what, like 15 a day?
That's why you have too many ingredients, because you haven't upgraded your pot.
What do you mean upgrade my pot?
You can have it hold more ingredients.
Yeah,
per
meal. I have a magneton that will like boost it like one meal a day, so I can do like 23. Like that's his that's like his power.
Yeah, but it's more than one meal a day. I don't know.
No, my magneton's bad. Like I wish sometimes he does twice a day. Are you talking about a permanent pot upgrade?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know how to do that. Well, give me the details. Don't gatekeep
you just,
here.
You spend sleep points on it. You just tap on the pot next to the campsite, and I think mine is up to 27 per meal right now.
What?
I think it's based on your player level.
I'm 16. Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, I think so. I'm 15, so you should be able to upgrade it quite a lot.
What?
This is why you have too many ingredients.
I have like 50 milks. You can hit the pot. So, oh, I gotta go to, like, get cooking. Okay, max up? No?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing that happens at the end of the week, so that's already kind of going
on. Yeah. Oh, add three more to the maximum.
There we go.
Is this permanent? This is 1,200 dream shards.
Yes, it's kind of expensive.
Is this permanent?
Yeah.
You can use for each cooking section. Okay, I just
and
did
it's
that.
Dream points and not dream shards. Oh, fun little tip, dream shards are more valuable the higher your level is. I don't remember whether I mentioned that before, but don't redeem them until you have to.
Oh, that's another good tip. Dang, you got any more?
No, there's so much to do in this game.
Oh, we're pumping in. Now I can do I can do. Oh, you reached the maximum current. Oh, never mind. Okay, I'm up to 27 now.
Yep. There we go.
I had no.
Now
clue
you don't
that
need
even...
that bag space.
Well, you know, permanent upgrade. That's good to know. Other bit of news here is Pokemon
Master...
We don't
care about my sleep experience? Thanks.
Oh, sorry, Greg. How's your sleep experience?
Fine.
You're, for some reason, still hate playing this game.
So, here's the thing that I realized. When somebody pointed out to me, I realized what my ultimate dissatisfaction of the game. It's a roguelike.
You don't like roguelikes?
Not particularly. I don't sort of like having
resetting.
All of my progress reset to only get a fraction of it at the beginning again. I don't like that sort of dismissal of my time.
But it's not all of your progress. You're still leveling up those Pokemon. You're still building those teams.
Yeah, but not as much as what I'd put in during the week. Like, it's like, hey, thanks for doing all this work. By the way, you're going to start over again and you're going to get a fraction of what you did that entire week. But you got a fraction. Isn't that enough? Right? That's enough. No, it's not. It's not particularly, because I don't particularly enjoy having to restart over from scratch at basic level every
week. You don't like improving gradually? Getting it just a little bit better each week. Each time you just have to wait the full week.
That stinks.
It's like the podcast, Greg. Every week we get funnier, just by a little bit.
That has not happened.
Not with that, dude.
And but also, it's not like you come in here and erase my memory so I'm starting over and then you feed me a bunch of lines like, this is how you were funny last week. Like, I get to just continually be funny and improve, but I haven't lost what I've been doing before.
Greg, you remember
unlike
that joke
this
last
game,
week? Say it again, but 5% funnier.
Look, I've had my wildest acting note I ever got from a director was, and I will quote, because this is exactly what they said to me, I don't need you to act better. I need you to act faster. He was right. But
I don't know what that means.
Theater people know what that means. It's fine. Like, I'm still doing it, but there is a dissatisfaction of at the end of the week being like, oh, and I'm back to basic again, and I'm starting and doing all of this again. And the way the game is set up, I'm going to see a lot of the same things that I'd already seen. And I do feel the game pressuring me to pay for things to make me get to the thing that I was at just a day ago. But you took that away from me for fun. It is not like, and I'm leaving, and there's no way I'm taking my Go++ with me to Atlanta. Like, there's going to be 5 days of no recording, and I'm completely fine with that.
You could get different Pokemon, though, because you could have a different sleep pattern in that new bed.
But I won't, because it's literally AI driven. Like, I look at it and go, how did you even decide this? Yeah. I had the exact same sleep. You are just making this up.
Your Snorlax will need you.
Snorlax is fine on its own. Besides, apparently at the end of the week, it has its memory erased and shipped off somewhere that I'll never see it again. I did have to wait a couple of days and it doesn't know who I am.
He's out looking for a hat so he can appear in Pokemon Go.
Look, I got both hats and one of them was shiny.
Yeehaw. Okay, before we get to the Pokemon Go, this is off NintendoSoup.com. Pokemon Masters EX 4-year anniversary. I think I said last week that we were on the 3-year anniversary. I don't know what time is. Mm-hmm. Apparently we're on 4.
It's 4, baby.
That will kick off on today, the day you're listening to this podcast, the 28th. It will feature a prelude to the finale of the villain arc, as well as introduce Neo Champion Sync pairs Red, Leaf, and Blue. And then they had a little trailer for that. So
yeah, the trailer's pretty good.
Those characters will have Articuno, Moltres, Zapdos, which, you know, for the last couple months, we were like, how are they going to do this next anniversary? How could we be so naive? You just stick another Red, Blue, and Leaf in here and you're printing money.
Just go back to Kanto. Just go back to Gen 1. That's all you need.
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, I want the red Articuno, man.
They look good.
They look good. I mean, I think their costumes are a little dull, but I think the costumes for the Galar birds were better, but
that's true.
These are fine.
The Galarian Moltres, Zapdos, Articuno, very good. I'm
Those
still
really
mad.
Good.
I missed out on the Jirachi. I was like, oh, Jirachi ends tomorrow. Nope, that was off a whole week.
Nope.
Actually ended last week.
Nope, denied.
Like you said, what is time?
Yeah, correct. Yeah. Look, it'll come back.
Yeah, so Blue has Zapdos, Red has Articuno, Green has Moltres, because reasons.
Sure, yeah. I mean,
we don't know those reasons yet, but they have them for reasons.
I'm sure the story will be decent.
Yeah, the stories are generally fine. It should be pretty good. I mean, they're sort of hinting that they want these three to take up a bigger role of showing new trainers how to be good new trainers. Red and Articuno are a strike sync pair. Leaf and Moltres are a tech sync pair. And Blue and Zapdos are a support sync pair.
I mean, you would think you would put the Articuno with the Blue and the Moltres with the Red and Zapdos.
But they didn't, did they?
I don't know. It's whatever.
There has to be a reason. Maybe.
There probably will be. We'll learn about it. They'll give us the whole reasons why. Or sometimes they don't. They're just like, oh, I found it, and this is who I am now. But it's weird because they sort of kept them, even though they're getting new Pokemon, they sort of just kept them in their same sort of roles. Like, Red is just a striker. Blue does do a lot of support in the game and is generally a tank, and Leaf is also sort of a debuffer. So, like, it's nice that they kept them in their roles so that at least you have an idea when you're getting these sync pairs, like, what you're getting into. So it's like, okay, I get it. It's that's a good part. I'm hoping the story at least sort of explains how they got them, although they have officially stated that all the legendaries on Paizo are unique. Paizo are unique and not like ones in any other reasons. All the Tapu that showed up aren't the Alolan versions. They are a different they are a different set of Tapu. So all the legendaries that are here are different for whatever reason. Have they explained that further? No. But they are, that's how we have so many of them. How we have all these legendaries that there's only one back in their own universes, but there's plenty here.
The only thing that matters is Sophocles and Cyrus are friends.
They are, and that's what's keeping Cyrus from destroying the universe.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we will go through Global Go Fest, and I'm curious to hear about New York Go Fest. So we will do all of that. And we already talked about how the DLC is coming out on the 13th, which is a Wednesday, which is not weird because I love armor and came out on a Wednesday. I think Crown Tundra came out on a Thursday, but there's your Scarlet and Violet news. The DLC is soon. We have no time frame of actually when it's coming. We don't know if that's UTC. Nope. Who knows? Maybe next time we record, we'll have more details. But anyways, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about some Pokemon Go. Oh, why did I say Pokemon like my mom? Some Pokemon Go. We'll be right back. This podcast is brought to you by ExpressVPN. When you go to the bathroom, you always close the door behind you, right? That's not weird. You wouldn't want like a random passerby looking in, so why would you let people look in when you are online? Your online privacy is important. That's why myself, that's why Will, that's why we here use ExpressVPN, and you should too. ExpressVPN creates a secure encrypted tunnel between your device and the internet, so your online activity cannot be seen by anyone. Just like when you shut the door to the bathroom, no one can see what you're doing in there. It works on your phones, laptops, routers, so everyone who's on your Wi-Fi network and sharing it with you is protected. And this protects your information that these companies use to sell ads to the tech giants, to target data to you. It's all protected. You're safe in the bathroom. You're safe behind ExpressVPN. All you have to do is fire up the app, click one button, and it's as easy as shutting that door. You can get 3 extra months of ExpressVPN free by going to expressvpn.com/pkmncast. That's expressvpn.com/pkmncast for 3 extra months free. expressvpn.com/pkmncast to get your 3 extra months free. And we are back from our break. Multiple GoFests have happened. Osaka, London, New York. It would be nice to have a London Global person on the show, but time zones. And also, I just got back from Japan, and also I'm leaving again, so it's...
Tone has offered.
Yeah, but it's 4 a.m. on a Monday for Tone. I think that man has a 9-to-5 job. I would love to get Tone on, though, so we can compare all three. But you, Hannah, went to the New York. This is your first Go Fest.
Yes.
So I guess the question was, first question, was it worth travel and hotel to play Pokemon Go in New York?
I think 100% yes, but largely because of the community that I was able to be with there and get to meet. I don't know how it would have felt if I had just gone on my own. It was amazing. I'm super happy about it. The city experience was probably the better part in a lot of ways, just because we were able to meet up with everybody and because not everybody was able to schedule for the same time slot in the park. Mm. The park was also kind of out of the way, not so much as I think Vegas was, but none of the ways of getting there were particularly great. They did have shuttles. I think the shuttles were probably the most accessible, but I did not check those out. Our group walked all the way up from the Nintendo store, all the way up through Central Park, all the way up to the island. So that was a long day of walking. I was dehydrated the entire time. Yes. Yep. I mean, the walking across the bridge wasn't the worst part. Central Park is really big.
Yeah.
Central Park is huge.
The big park.
I ended up chugging 2 bottles of Gatorade halfway through because it was very humid and hot there.
Mm-hmm.
Can you give... Well, this is maybe a tougher question because you didn't go to any of the other GoFests because it's your first GoFest. In-person GoFest. I heard the park was just kind of small in general. The park you actually... Not Central Park. The park where the GoFest was.
Yeah. It was... different sizes depending on which entrance you came through. Because we walked over the bridge onto the island and came up through the south entrance, I think that it felt bigger. But the part that connected the north entrance and the south entrance was really weirdly narrow and weirdly crowded. And 2 of the biomes were in that space.
Oh.
So that was not great. The park experience also crashed for Verizon users on Saturday. And that was pretty bad for a lot of people.
Yeah, I heard there was like a 3-hour extension for Verizon players after...
For the city experience, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But it
yeah.
kind of ruined the park experience for the most part.
Yeah,
it was really
your,
cool.
Get your photo
Parts
ops,
of the park
were...
yeah, pretty much. I mean, get your photo ops, get your t-shirt, get all of the research done. That was what our group focused on. We had a couple of people who were really good at leading the group and saying, okay, do you have your research done? Do we all have our research done? Have we all caught all of the Pokemon for the collection challenge? And are we ready to move on to the next biome? And that was the challenge when going there with a whole group. But the park was fine. It was... there was a lot more concrete than I expected, which was probably good for accessibility reasons, so I appreciated that. Though it seemed like some parts of it were a little muddy and hard to get through. For me personally, the whole game just started crashing as soon as the event started, but I don't think anyone else had that issue.
No, that's pretty normal.
That's pretty normal.
No, it was different. Mine was different. This was different, I promise. One of the first tasks was to send gifts to friends. Every single time I tried to touch a gift, the entire app would crash.
Yep, that was my first GoFest experience, and I had to de-install and reinstall GoFest while walking through the park, my very first GoFest. Yep,
I had to uninstall and reinstall the app. Okay.
You're not that special. Okay. That does happen.
Nobody else who was there happened. Had that happen. I was in there refreshing my game data and closing and reopening the app and restarting my phone, and ultimately only uninstalling and reinstalling was the thing that fixed it.
Yep.
Jetsy, who came out to Minneapolis to play the Global Go Fest here in Seattle last year, anytime they touched a raid, their whole app crashed. So like they could play the game normally, but when they went to tap on a raid, it crashed. And tech support was eventually like uninstall, reinstall the app, and fixed it. But I don't. Yeah, it just seems like. Like, we say that as, like, people are probably like, oh, this is why Niantic sucks, this is why I would never go to GoFest. But, like, when we were doing raids, there was, like, 50 of us, and he was the only one with that issue. And I would say after, like, the very first GoFest and the second GoFest and the third GoFest, like, there's not, like, a huge line at tech support. Like, usually if somebody's having an issue... tech support, you're talking to a person within like 5 minutes, and you're usually walking out with a solution. That solution is probably reinstall the app, and it's fine, but it's not like hundreds of thousands. Well, in the case of everyone have Verizon, that sounds like that was a Verizon issue specifically, not a Niantic issue.
The Verizon issue was not great. There were people connecting to other people's hotspots just so they could play, and it went on for a good long time.
Hey, that very first GoFest, Sprint people had no problems because Sprint brought the cows.
Yeah, bring out the
cows. So it's still funny that, like, that was just the issue. That was really the issue of the first GoFest was AT&T and Verizon refused to bring cows out, even though Niantic asked for it. And they said, no, our network is strong enough. And the only company that brought a cow was Sprint and people on Sprint, which it's not. You know, Verizon and AT&T are much bigger customers, have more customers than Sprint did at the time. They couldn't play, and they had to go out in the city. But what you said earlier, Hannah, you said a lot of people seem to prefer the city experience. They started doing that pretty recently.
Yeah, the city experience was totally worth the extra money for the few other days that we played.
Yeah. No, that was what I was going to say, is like, I've heard that a lot from people, that they prefer the city experience. So it is kind of nice, I guess, that the park experience is what, like 4 hours out of one of your days? Because the park is still cool.
Yeah.
But the city experience, I feel like, isn't going to go away. I feel like it is kind of a crucial part to that GoFest experience, and they can get more players in, and they can get more people through, and then people can, you know, instead of playing 8 hours super hard on one day, they can do like 6 hours, 4 hours, 6 hours, and not feel like they got to cram everything in and be exhausted.
It makes a full trip feel much more worth it than just being able to go to the park on part of one of the days. Another good thing they did in the park, though, while they weren't throwing water bottles at us, they did have really good hydration stations.
Dang,
that
Osaka,
I really appreciated.
Osaka was passing out water bottles like it was going out of style. Yeah, I wonder if that's like a Japan thing. Or maybe there's just that park didn't have like water stations. I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah, they brought in these giant water trucks and the water was all cooled and everything. It was real fancy.
Huh. Yeah, you know, for Osaka, I kind of regret going to the park every time. But because I was like streaming it, and because I know like there's different audiences every day I'm streaming it, like showing that park is really cool. But I'm pretty sure the Osaka park was multiple times bigger than Randall's Island, it sounds like.
Well, maybe multiple times bigger than the part of Randall's Island that we were allowed to use.
Yeah.
Because it was nowhere near the full island. There was a whole lot of other stuff going on the full island. There were people having baseball games there. It was kind of wild.
Now that you've been to a GoFest, is this something that you're penciling in for the future? Or, you know, if they decide to do a Sinnoh tour in person?
If I had enough money, I would go to every Pokemon Go event. That's the deciding factor there. I will probably try to go to GoFest next year, though, if we can get our community together again, because that was a really good time.
Yeah, Greg and I were there in cardboard.
Yeah, we were walking around.
At every single photo opportunity.
Yeah, you guys had like a cool rock crystal display or something. We didn't have that in Osaka. We just had like a really bad blow up Pikachu. He was like dirty.
It sounded like the photo attractions were better in New York than they were in Osaka, but not as good as London's.
Yeah, we, I don't know if London or you guys had it, but we had like a memory lane, which had like every pogo screen ever.
Yeah, we had one of those.
Oh, okay,
but
you guys
did
have that.
It wasn't labeled super well, and I don't think we went back there after the very beginning of the park experience.
Yeah, we had the giant Pikachu, we had Memory Lane, we had the standees.
We had a Snorlax and a Lucario and the crystal thing.
Yeah, we didn't have any of that. We had free water bottle and free barley tea. That was kind of bad, but they were handing that out like candy too. They were like, please take this tea. It was one of the sponsors of the park.
I like barley tea.
So do I.
It was very bitter.
Yes. But
I guess
that's
what you want.
That's the point.
Here, you could take as many bottles as you wanted. You would have loved it.
The merch tent line was ridiculously long. That's probably to be expected.
It was just for the shirt, right?
So there was a separate tent for the shirt.
Oh, so
there's a shirt tent.
Yes. Yes. So we were able to go up and grab the shirt by just showing off a QR code in pretty much no time. That took less than 3 minutes to just get through that short
line. And
that
was a very smart thing that Niantic did. The QR code for shirts was very... They're probably going to continue that.
I mean,
that's
QR code if you pre-order the shirt, right?
You pre-order and then the app gives you a QR code and then you just grab it.
Mm-hmm.
Which is great because you don't want to pay $70 for a ticket and then wait in line for 2 hours to pick up the shirt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, because the merch line was definitely a 1 to 2 hour line for the big merch tent that just had t-shirts and plushies and pins and a couple of hats.
Was it just Pokemon Center?
Pretty much, yeah. I got the shirt that Greg has on because I wanted it.
There. Okay. Yeah. Oh, so you know when Greg and I went to the St. Louis Safari Zone,
mm-hmm.
they had a huge tent in the center. They mm-hmm. had a bunch of merch, right? They had the Pikachu with the fedora, the shirt that Greg's wearing, which is for the audio only listeners, it's just like the tan shirt with mammal swine and stuff. But the cool thing about that, which I'm actually surprised they haven't really done in the future, like kind of only did it at that. Maybe they did it at other Safari Zones. That was weird because that was like when like they started doing Safari Zones, then COVID happened and then they all got canceled and then they kind of did them again, but then stopped. Was they had like a huge billboard of everything that was in the store. And you could just scan a QR code and then place an order on your phone. And then they would yep. text you when it was ready. And then instead of yeah. waiting in line, you got in a different line just to pick it up.
Impressive.
That was super
it was
cool.
So nice.
And I was never not going seen on there.
Never seen another Pokemon Go event do that nope. besides the St. Louis one. It was awesome. No. It was great.
They had a website you could go to where you could look at the things that were supposedly inside the tent, but it was not updated.
Oh.
There was actually, I think, more in the tent than there was on the website. So it was not necessarily a bad thing, but if you went in there planning what you were going to get, it was not always possible.
Yeah, it's so and weird.
Steve, you have the right suggestion with going to the park in the morning. We did not do that.
Oh, yeah.
It was... There was no food left.
Yeah, for future... anyone listening to this podcast, if you're considering going to a GoFest... Do not pick park in the afternoon. Always pick park in the morning. It's cooler. It's you're there first. Just trust me on this one.
I think the merch tent line is probably shorter if you want to sit in the line for 2 to 3 hours. But there was just no food at all on Saturday afternoon. At any of the food trucks. And there were a bunch of food trucks.
Also, don't pick Saturday. Pick Friday or pick Sunday. And I
Saturday afternoon is the busy one.
Yeah, yeah. Saturday afternoon is like the worst slot you can pick. But like so Friday is like if you have technical issues on Friday, you're more likely to get the free day. Because you're the
yeah,
first
but we had the yeah. That's why a lot of us chose the Saturday afternoon spot. We figured the technical issues would be solved.
No. Because
you
more
want
people.
Them so you get free stuff.
Yeah.
So you game the system. You want to have problems so you can complain at them and they give you free stuff.
Speaking of technical issues, it seemed like the global GoFest was pretty technical issue free. Like... It didn't seem to really break at all. Which
it
might
seems
be
like they did a pretty good job with this one. A lot of people were really happy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought this was a good GoFest.
Yeah.
I thought this one was really great for global. And I don't know, you know, it's not every time we talk about GoFest, it's always like this counter to like not a counter, but I feel like some people are like, my GoFest was amazing because I got all these shinies. Or somebody will be like, my GoFest sucked. I only got like 2 shinies. But it's never that for me. Like, because shinies or whatever. It's for
says
me.
Says the person who got the Hundo Shiny Goomy.
That's true.
And all the Pikachus.
That's because you got to complain the entire time.
Yeah, you got to complain from top to bottom and then things will happen.
I really just enjoyed... I think they had good Pokemon selection. Obviously, not every single Pokemon is going to be like a hit, right? But I think the Pokemon selection were really good. I did actually like costume Pikachu. I like a lot of costume Pokemon. So having like a different Pikachu every hour, I thought was pretty clever. Even though like give it to somebody else, like maybe have. I don't know, even do like Charmander, Squirtle, Bulbasaur, or Pikachu, like a little variety might be nice. It's weird that they brought back Snorlax, but at first I was like, oh, it's weird they're bringing back Snorlax because doesn't everyone have this? But like the amount of people that were so excited Snorlax was there was...
Not
was,
everyone had that.
Yeah, yeah, that was pretty wild to see. So like
that
I didn't care about Snorlax.
Was the in-person one last year.
But so I'm going to assume maybe if they're going to do this like one odd costume off, they're going to do Aerodactyl next year because Aerodactyl was only for the in-person.
Probably. Hopefully. Because yeah. It was a hit.
Yeah. It seemed... Snorlax is a very popular Pokemon just in general too. So Greg and I went to Centennial Lakes, which is a very popular place to play Pokemon Go in the Twin City area. They do have their own community. They have their own Discord that's pretty active. That's where we went for Regidrago, Regieleki. They were one of the most active Discords for those two Pokemon. Gorgeous park. Plenty of stops, plenty of gyms, plenty of restaurants nearby. We had amazing weather. It was like high of 75. Absolutely gorgeous out. So
yeah,
I laid down the most lures I've ever laid down in a day in the 7 years of playing this game. I was a little disappointed at the turnout. Like, there were still a lot of people playing, but not as much as a community day there. Like, a community day there, it's popping. And I've never had to lay down a lure in Centennial Parks on a community day there. I was actively doing lures at least 2 to 3 an hour, because I think lures lasted an hour.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I also just didn't think the spawn density was as good as a community day. It was still very good, because it's a pretty popular park. But if I was really aiming for, like, maximizing shinies, I would have just went to Mall of America. Because there's just so many, like, literally, if you cannot keep walking and tap everything. Like, there's just so many spawns at Mall of America. But, like, don't regret the choice.
Well, the thing is, they still do phone density, right? And so, because there are so many people at the mall who are just there, but they're not playing the game, there's just a ton of people, it is going to generate more.
Yeah.
Everything. Whereas, like, Centennial Lakes was packed with people. A lot of people there were playing the game. There were people who just generally visit the park. But I would say that it was a majority of players were there. The thing is that one of the things that I felt is I didn't need to do both sets of hours. Right? And I think a lot of people didn't do. They either picked the morning or the afternoon or the chunk in between. So instead of having the concentration of a community day, they could spread out, which is my preferred method, because it didn't feel overwhelming with people stopping and people just generally being in the way and people feeling really manic at getting things. Like, it felt a bit manic at Mall of America today. Which is a less enjoyable experience for me. Like, I enjoyed much more having a leisurely stroll, being able to check everything and not feel like I couldn't get to that in time because it despawned, or I had to click through 4 things overlapping to get to the thing that I wanted, and I had to waste time catching things to clear things out. Like, that's not my ideal experience. So I enjoyed Saturday a lot more because it just felt more relaxed and leisurely. Like, I was having a nice day playing and could sort of just get everything, make sure that my completion challenges were checked off and I knew exactly what I was looking for and I could see it clearly on the map. Whereas if I had to do that today, I would have just been like, no, I'm done. I can't. This is bad.
The day without the collection challenges is supposed to be the chiller one, but not if you go to the busy place.
Well, wasn't last year, like, the Ultra Beast stuff, if I remember correctly? And it was just kind of bad. Like, it wasn't bad. It was just very, like, blah.
They had, you got to use the Beast Balls, though, and they kind of did that again. Wait, was that... No, that was not Go Fest, was it?
No, the beast when you got tour. To use the Beast Balls was not Go Fest, because I remember Go Fest last year. Greg and I went to the art park for the first day.
Mm-hmm.
When I remember the art park was littered, and one of the complaints last year was, "Why are the Alolan starters here?"
Yep.
They can't
be. It wasn't even. Yeah, it was their evolutions.
Yeah, it was like, and Dartrix, Brion, and Torcat were in raids for whatever reason. And then Litten, Popplio, and Rowlet were spawning. And then the second day we went to the zoo, and the only Pokemon spawning the second day was Nihiligo, because that was the start of the Ultra Beast quest line.
Mm-hmm. But
that was it. Like, Mega Rayquaza is a more exciting Pokemon by far. Like, if Mewtwo is the most popular legendary, which it is, like, people love Mewtwo. Kanto strikes again. Like, Rayquaza is probably the second. Like,
and I'm so happy for Hoenn.
Yeah! Woo!
And the fact that you needed to do multiples to get Mega, and people love the Shiny, and then people want the Shiny Mega, and you have the quest line to get the Meteor right. Like, they know. Like, Niantic knows. Pokemon Company knows that, like, they bring back Mewtwo, ton of money. Like, Shadow Mewtwo did super, super well. Shadow Articuno was, like, kind of a dud, except for that first week. Mega Rayquazas were filling. And I had to literally go invisible in Pokemon Go. The first time ever, I went from off the little toggle of, like, if you're online, I had to turn it off because people kept I'm not going to pay $2 to join your Rayquaza raid with 9 people when I could do it for $1 in person and have it instantly filled to 20. I know I have the privilege of being at Mall America, but there's not a single Rayquaza that Greg and I didn't join that didn't insta fill to 20.
Like, yeah, I tried to invite people who are like, hey, could you get me in? And I would deliberately wait for it to reset to one person. I would hit it. I would send the invite. I would get out. And then it'd be like, everybody's ready and the raid's full. And I'm like, well, I hope you clicked it because you literally apparently had 2 seconds to receive it and click it to get in. It is a wild experience at Mall of America. I try to warn people like, we're going to the mall. The chances that I'm going to get you into a remote raid are pretty slim. I'm gonna try.
You can go private and then flip it over, but even when I did that and I was like, okay, we're at like 60 seconds, I'm gonna open it up. Like,
yeah.
As soon as I opened it up, it was like 10 seconds left. Like, we're starting. Yeah. And I was like, geez.
Yeah, we're starting.
That's
yeah.
How most of the raids were in New York, but that's kind of normal for New York.
The only other Go Fest that I think it maybe came close to this, like, I think for both days, this was an awesome Go Fest. Probably the best. The only one that I can remember, Global Go Fest. The only one I can remember, I think, was 2 years ago. And it was the second day where they were like, all the legends are in raids.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was a pretty awesome Go Fest. I don't even remember the first day, though. So the first day probably was kind of bad. But the second day when they were like, all the legends are in raids. Like, I remember that one really being awesome. As well, but I think both days combined, I think this was a really good Go Fest. I think Greg is right in the instance. Sorry, I'm backtracking a little bit of like the park not being this overcrowded experience, and everyone's situations are going to vary, obviously. But because the first day is an 8-hour experience, but it's 2 4-hour experiences repeating. It almost kind of reminded me of when community days were 6 hours.
Mm-hmm.
We've had so many years of community days being 3 hours, and then they went to 6, and then they went back to 3. And what I noticed personally, and this is me I'm not defending Niantic in any way. I'm just drawing a comparison. In the 6 hours, it never felt like there was enough people to do everything, and it did feel like I needed to lure it up. Because people would not spend all 6 hours there, which is like totally fine. Like, some people just want to get 3 shinies, they want to go. Some people are good with just 3 hours of doing it and go. But like, the 8 hours did kind of remind me of those longer community days where, like, because it's not concentrated, there's more holes in the day. Where now that we're back to 3 hours, it's like, well, we only have 3 hours, so you're pushing everyone together, which ultimately I think is Niantic's goal, right? You push all the people together to force a community, whether or not you agree with that.
It's interesting because it forces a community that still doesn't really interact with each other. Like, we're just there and you're looking to see, is this lured up? Yes or no? Do I have to do this? And it's such a weird, it's such a weird commentary to be like, well, I had to lure all these up to get the most out of my experiences because there weren't other people doing that work for me, is a really weird way to look at a community.
Yeah.
Sometimes, like, the community part works and sometimes it doesn't.
And to be fair, there's a lot of stops in Centennial, right? Like, and one of the things that I think a Go Fest is, it brings out people that don't play a lot. So when you have a spread out experience and you have people who don't have a ton of lures to do it, there are going to be natural holes, unlike Community Day, where, yeah, you get all of the diehards at the same time knowing how to set everything up. Like, these are the people that are out here to get the most out of that time frame. And of course, they're going to lure things up. But also, they have the lures to do that with. And I think that's it's a weird thing that happens on these much larger events, where you're getting a lot of people who can, because they have a flexible schedule, get out to do it when it fits their schedule. But they aren't as set up as people who are into it more hardcore. And you do kind of feel that if you're sort of looking at how do all the stops look? What's the spawn rates looking like?
The lures also last the full 3 hours on Community Day.
Yeah, I think only lasted 1 hour.
Yeah.
And which is just a money grab from Niantic, honestly.
Yeah, I think it's also interesting to think that last year's GoFest, Pikachu wore the same outfit every...
Yes, yeah. This was the first time
biome, they did. And this one is different, and I think that helped make the event feel more unique in each hour, because I'm looking at the amount of Pokemon that changed in each section last year. And it's like, it's pretty much the same amount, and whether mm-hmm. or not you like them or didn't like them. I think it's the fact that there was a constant through of just one. The Pikachu was always the same, sort of helped blend them in. And I think they were really tied weirdly to the theme of the things that spawned matched the Ultra Beasts for that hour, which I think really limited their choices. Whereas I think this year felt like they picked a more broad theme to make the choices of things that appeared feel more varied. So instead of like Feromosa hour, and you're like, I'm sick of seeing bugs, like I'm tired of bugs. This sort of had a different feel because they had a much broader theme of what appeared. And I think that just helped make it feel a little bit better, even though, like, if you look at pure numbers, they're pretty identical. They just made it feel better.
I'd be curious how people go about planning these events, because I think that really does make or break their overall experience. So, like, when Greg and I were talking of where we were going to play, obviously Mall America is like, well, if we don't want to think too hard and we want the best spawn mm-hmm. density and we want all of this, we'll just go to Mall America. But there's also the, like, well, it's only going to be nice out for a couple more months, so maybe we should go outside. We've done Community Days and we've done these bigger events at various places throughout Minneapolis or St. Paul. And I think we were talking about downtown Minneapolis at one point, and we did recently do a Community Day downtown Minneapolis, mm-hmm. even though the spawn density is really good there, and there's plenty of places to go. There's plenty of restaurants. It's beautiful down there. Great park, gold medal. We did Community Day down there, and nothing was lured up. We didn't see really anyone playing. Would we go down there for a Go Fest and have a good time? Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
But we just knew that players probably wouldn't be there where they would be at Centennial or the Art Park or Mall of America, right? So I do wonder if players think that out of, like, where is the best place I can go to play? Where are the people going to go? I think Niantic,
don't I have to pay for parking? Because you have to pay for parking downtown.
Yeah. And we also went to those two lakes for the Squirtle Classic Community Day, right?
We did the Lake of the Isles change.
Lake of the Isles. We did that for Classic. Same thing. Like, beautiful park. It was a little hot. You know, great views of the lake. Tons of people out running, kayaking, boating, picnics. Somebody doing a bar mitzvah. Like, but things weren't lured up. Didn't seem like anyone was really, like, you know, you saw a couple people playing, but it didn't really feel like a bunch of zombies walking in circles playing, for better or for worse. But, like, that is like the Pokemon Go community. It's just everyone staring at their phone walking in circles. Like, you didn't mm-hmm. feel that like you did at a park. So I know Niantic is trying to do that with like the community ambassador program, and we were talking about it in Slack of, like, You can go to PokemonGoLive.com/community and then type in your zip code. And there was one in Minneapolis, and Greg and I talked about that too. And it's like, I know they're there. I know the ambassador is there, but I've also played Go at that park, and it's a giant loop around a lake. And I'm just thinking in a structure, if a raid pops on the other side of the lake, it's going to take me 25 minutes to walk. I have to walk around the lake, unless I'm gonna rent a kayak and just try to cut through. I ain't gonna get there in time, so why would I go there when there are better, more condensed parks that I know have that Pokemon density, that stop density, that, and again, not every city, not every town has a park like this, but when I'm thinking of going to these bigger events, I do actively think of what's the almost the best bang for my buck, but in Pokestop and gym ratios.
Lake Nokomis and Centennial Lakes, Lake Nokomis is bigger, but not a ton bigger, right? Really, if you're going to walk around both, Lake Nokomis isn't going to take you a lot more. The thing is that Centennial Lakes was a man-made designed lake. So because of that, and because there's businesses, there are bridges constantly across that. So if you see something, you don't have to go around the loop of the lake. You can cut across a bridge. It just makes it easier to do a game in a park that's either smaller, like Silver Lake, which is the art park, or that's designed with pedestrian crossing in mind. Whereas Lake Nokomis, all of the city lakes, they are natural lakes and they are huge lakes. So you can't just dart across. They aren't made necessarily for any other activity other than being on the lake or walking or biking around the lake. That's what they're there for. And when you're looking at a Pokemon Go situation where your needs are different, I don't deny that Lake Nokomis is beautiful and it's full of people, but it is a big, giant loop. Parking is still bad. There isn't support for how people play this game. There aren't a lot of bathrooms. There aren't, if you're hungry, you do have to completely leave or go to the one cabana place.
The one restaurant by the beach.
Yeah, or there might be some carts out, but also, if you're thirsty, you have to we'll get back around to where the food is in half an hour. It's just, if I'm going to spend 8 hours out there, that's not my first thought.
Yeah, when it's the longer event, you really have to plan.
Yeah, it's I don't, and also Will wanted to leave and go take a nap, which valid 1000%. And the cars are right there. I could just leave stuff in my car and be like, I will go get it when I need it. I don't have to carry it on me because the parking's right there. It's there are five different parks. Pick an end. There's a parking lot there for you to be in. And for a long planned day, it just makes more sense to do that. Would I do a community day at Nokomis? Sure. I could happily go walk around that because a community day has different needs. I don't need to complete something every hour.
7 years of not making every gym have a raid, and that doesn't exist in community day. I still don't understand why Niantic's not doing that. Just crank that raid slider during community day, Niantic. It's free money.
Yeah. And it's interesting because also you can tell there are big communities that do these areas. I recognize whenever I go to the art park and do community days there, I recognize the people that do stuff at the art park. I recognize people who are the Centennial Lakes group. I'm sure there are people that are the Nokomis group, and that's where they're comfortable playing. It's not to say these are bad spots. They're not bad spots, but each spot serves a particular thing better, right? It is just, if you want to do routes that are beautiful and be on a route that's probably pretty great, go do downtown Minneapolis. There are things to see and walk along a ton that's not just walking around the lake, or as it was in Centennial Lakes, the same 17 people submitted the exact same loop, one that ended in the middle of the lake. It was like, how did you get disapproved?
Hannah, did you go anywhere specific for your day one?
I did not. I got back from my New York trip and have been a little bit stressed with work stuff, so I mostly just had the goal of completing all the collection challenges.
Oh, okay.
I live on a couple of Pokestops and was also luring them up all day long. But I know that people in the Slack were really excited about this event and how many shinies there were, even if you didn't have a ticket, it seemed like.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up, that this is like the first global GoFest. I felt like the free people were pretty like happy that like they were free, and it seemed like that's usually not the case for a global GoFest. It's usually like, oh, I'm free and Niantic screwed me over. It was like,
and it's usually been getting worse, but not this time.
You know, I think the paid ticket was worth it. I think, you know, if you wanted to collect unknowns, that was part of the ticket. You got nine raid passes for both days. So
and the increased catch rate for the legendaries was great.
Yeah, yeah. Let me complain real quick. The increased legendaries, fantastic that they did that. Why is Fungus or Morlul like the two hardest Pokemon ever to catch? Like, why is Morlul like red circle? Like, he can't be shiny. Like, yeah, he gives a little bit of extra stardust. That's why I want to catch him. That's why I'm why is Morlul harder to catch than a Rayquaza? I have no clue.
Fomantis, too. Tight. Fomantis was so hard to catch.
I mean, Morlul is going to be harder for a lot of people because it's fairy type, and most people don't have that platinum badge yet.
Oh, I got the platinum.
I believe that.
Oh, don't you worry about that. Like, that's taken care of.
Like, I caught probably 4,000 Pokemon over this weekend. I went pretty hard, especially the day I wasn't streaming. I went a lot harder because, like, when I'm streaming, I'm a little slower because I'm chit-chatting and I'm like trying to answer people's questions. I'm showing around. I didn't catch a single Lapras. I tapped Laprases, but if anyone has ever caught a Lapras listening to the show, it is a nightmare situation because Lapras has whatever ridiculous catch rate in the entire world. I was like, no, we're not dealing with you. You are not purple, so I am moving on. I would like to catch Morlul because it's the active double Stardust. I got a star piece on. Definitely want to try to catch this Morlul. We're like five Great Balls later. You're still not staying in your Pokemon. I'm not going to Golden Res you, Morlul. Like, I got
I got things to do.
Didn't get frustrated enough? I know I've Golden Razz to Pokemon when I got too frustrated with it popping out of the Pokeball too many times.
I would Golden Razz, but I feel like in the last 6 months, Niantic has like slowly nerfed Golden Raspberries, and I don't have as many as I used to. So yeah, that was kind of like my first complaint, is some of the catch rates just seemed like ridiculously high for no apparent reason, but they consciously thought about the legend stuff, which was like a great change. And I think that I will get on my soapbox again. I don't want 22 Pokeballs to catch a Yveltal, and then if I'm hitting Golden Razz, great. Look, I can't always get excellent on Yveltal. I'm not going to sit there and like hold the circle to constantly get excellent. But like after 22 Razzes and great throws, the Yveltal runs away. That is the worst feeling in the world. Not because I didn't catch it, but because I just spent 12 minutes doing that. Like, cut my balls in half. Like, give me only 11 instead of, well, that was a weird sentence. Give me only 11 instead of 22 and make the catch rate like a little bit better. That way, at least when it flees, it's like, okay, well, that was like 3 minutes, not like 15 minutes. We saw that this weekend with Rayquaza. Like, it felt so good to catch it relatively quickly, and I think every Rayquaza had like 9 Pokeballs.
Yeah. I am officially over catch rates. It is such a tired and not fun mechanic. It's like the last bit of grind that they've just decided this is an appropriate grind. And there is this weird thought process again that if it takes longer, it feels like you've accomplished more. And that is simply not true anymore. It just took longer, and if I didn't catch it, I'm more angry because I wasted a lot of time and resources for no reason. Especially in a world of Go where, like, today, turn a corner, there's a Rayquaza. Like, it, like, catch rates just don't serve a good purpose anymore. Then it's not even solving an in-game economy anymore because it's Pokeballs that you're giving me for free for spinning. Like, it's just silly at this point.
Yeah, having a Pokemon break out of an excellent throw, like a Morlul.
Yeah.
Is the most infuriating experience.
It's a giant middle finger. It's just a giant middle finger to you and your time, to your children, to your ancestors. It's just a giant take that. You want this mushroom? Guess again.
Maybe this is just me. The other, like, minor complaint I have is, like, unknown don't feel as exciting anymore. Again, I think this is just a me problem because I go to the in-person Go Fest, so, like, unknown is there. But, like, with the habitats, the sands and the Macalite ore and whatever the other two were called, the grassy one and the other, the pink one, the color, the pink, pink one, green, the grassy blue, green. And yellow ones. The unknown was the most unexciting part. Like, when the Bisharp showed up, which was incense, or when the Goomy was, like, on incense for, like, the pink one or whatever, or the blue one, I think. Like, those were significantly more exciting to me than the unknown. And maybe because, like, they like, didn't have boosted odds for unknown or whatever. But, like, I don't know. I, at a certain point, I was like, not a Pawneared? Okay, cool. Like,
I have been catching unknown at a number of fests at this point where I'm just like...
Yeah, both of you have seen a lot of these.
Yeah, yeah. So I think probably for... other people.
For people who are newer or who haven't gone to as many in-person events, unknown are still pretty exciting, but also when it's tied to incense like that, it gets a little bit mundane, I think, even mm-hmm. then.
Breaking the Pikachu off the incense, though, was awesome. Like, yeah. I think last year it was unknown and then Pikachu was on the incense, so it was frustrating to be like, I don't want the letters anymore, I just want Pikachu. And it was like, I'm only seeing, like, two or three Pikachus an hour because I keep getting, like, D's thrown in my face. I don't know what the word was last year, but the word this year was diamond, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and maybe it was because I went to the in-person New York Go Fest, but I was not super impressed by the unknown this year, so maybe it's just you've seen them once, you've seen them all.
Did New York have, like, the unknown on the hour?
It did, theoretically. I don't feel like it worked every time, but it worked kind of a little bit. Sometimes.
I think the, like, on the hour stuff and the in person is really good. I think
when
it
works, the on the hour stuff is really exciting. We would just sometimes have our phones open and everybody would say it's top of the hour and nothing, maybe two unknown would show up, and that kind of sucks.
Yeah, I noticed this in Osaka where what they used to do is the spawns you saw would change into unknown. And that's what happened at Germany. That's what happened at, like, Seattle and stuff. So what some people would do is they would, like, find a shiny and then they would run from it. And then when the hour flipped over, they would know that one of that whatever unknown replaced that shiny Pokemon, that unknown would be shiny. The other thing that would happen is, like, when I was, like, at the Germany Go Fest last year, if you caught all the Pokemon in that area and then the top of the hour hit, there was nothing to turn into unknown. So you would, once you figured this out, and of course, that was back in the day where you only had, like, a one experience, right? So, or one day. Once you figured that out, it was, like, too late. This year, I think they slightly changed it, where if you keep moving, new unknown would spawn in, but they weren't replacing what was already there, which is, like, both good or bad,
right? That
explains
it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, ultimately, when instead of standing still like you did last year, you're supposed to, like, okay, you got 2 minutes, like, go, 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 go.
That definitely explains it. Because when everybody noticed it was the top of the hour, we would all stand still and open our phones.
Right, yes. So I'm pretty sure they actively changed it. But I was distracted every time it was top of the hour in Osaka. I was like trying to trade like an old lady, like a Pikachu, in like this 5 minute trade. Other thing I would say, not really a complaint, just a side note. I feel like the Global Go Fest, no one trades. Like no one, like when I feel like when you travel to a New York or a Germany or a Japan, there are people who print out signs. They're like asking for trades. There are people who like notice that you are not from this country. Like I stand out like a sore thumb in Korea or in Japan, right? Like look at that white dude over there. He must have Bufalant. It's true. I do have Bufalant. They're not wrong by any means. They're not a single person stopped me the 2 days in Minneapolis to be like,
yeah,
would you like to trade?
When you're just in your local area, that's a totally different thing than going to a whole place to get together with a bunch of trainers specifically for the event.
I mean, we're there with locals. And I think the general assumption is when you're there with locals,
they don't know. They don't know where I've been, Greg. They don't know the Sensei or Koryos.
Yeah, you're not also going to think, am I going to stop everybody to see if they've traveled out? Yeah. Like in post-pandemic no money universe, the assumption isn't going to be that these people have traveled to all of these vast different countries and played Pokemon Go there. So I don't think it's unusual for people locally to not ask for trades, because generally they're going to think you probably have everything that I have because we're in the same area and we get the same spawns. Mm-hmm. Whereas when you're going to a different country or a specifically different place that is a destination, people are going to assume that you came from somewhere. Like going to New York for an in-person Go Fest, people know people came from California or Florida or Puerto Rico or South America who came in for this event. So yeah, they're going to be more likely like, hey, there's a better chance you have something I don't have than when you're at yet another in-person event locally with the same people you've been seeing now for 7 years.
If you're in a good local group, you get people who offer after they've gone to on a vacation and come back with some rare Pokemon. But other than that, yeah. Although I didn't really get people asking me for trades for the most part at New York City Go Fest, but I was also a little bit
focused. Did they have a trading area?
They didn't. At least as far as we could tell, it was not on the map.
Usually it's not in the shade. It's usually away from everything, directly in the sun. No chairs. You mentioned. They want you to suffer.
No, that was the battle area this time.
Oh, okay. Battle directly in the sun.
Battle in the sun, sitting on wonderful hay bales. That was the one in Chicago.
No, they had this cute little battle area set up, and the line was actually in the shade. So that was done well. But I don't think there was a particular trading area at all. When I went back the second day, I went on Sunday morning with Tone to try and find get into the merch tent successfully, thankfully. We looked around for a trading area, and I think there just wasn't a trading area in the park. It was just sort of happening all over the place. Because when you came into the park, they would hand you one of those little signs that says, I'm looking for this Pokemon, I have this Pokemon to trade.
Yeah. I will say that, you know, I've complained on the show about community days and just events feeling like they're missing something, specifically, you know, when you've done a community day for like 6 years, kind of the same, right? You walk around in circles, get a bunch of shinies, you hope that raids pop. Raids don't pop.
Raids don't pop.
But I will say, with this Global Go Fest for the 2 days, where you put a Pokemon in the size thing,
contests or showcases.
The showcase, I think the showcase is a great addition. And I believe it was definitely on the Squirtle community day. Greg and I did three of them. Mm-hmm.
That's when we learned they messed with us.
Yeah, that was
that
first one.
Swap out after three.
Yeah, that was when it broke. I will say, like, at the park, there was only one showcase. Mm-hmm. And at the Mall America, there was also only one showcase, which was like a little bit of a bummer, but and I'm sure it sucks
did
for
that
people.
One showcase top out?
Both topped out.
The mall did.
Okay. Oh.
The one at the park topped out within an hour or two.
Okay.
And the one at Mall America topped out in like 10 minutes.
Yeah, the ones in New York were completely full the entire time.
And like it was cool, and I do think that it is a great addition to the game, especially because it gives you a target in mind. So like for the one at Mall America, it was Pikachu. And I went in at number 2, felt really good. Halfway through the day, I got bumped down to number 3. But in my head, I'm like, I'm catching every single Pikachu, even though I already got the 4 shinies, even though like I got the Pikachu medal like 5 years ago. Like, I'm just going to catch every single Pikachu, because what if a Pikachu's bigger and it's number 1? Like, that would be awesome. And then in the day before, the showcase was for, what Pokemon was that? I think it was Goomy. Yeah. So, you know, on this show, I have said I'm not giving Goomy any money. I'm not falling for Niantic's scam, because Goomy Community Day will happen, I'm sure, June of next year, right? I got my shiny Goomy just from the research, for the record. I got it from the research.
I got my shiny Goomy in the wild for free. That was our chant. Whenever I found one in the wild, I would scream free Goomy, because certain members of our party were paying $1 to go to Goomy raids, where I was getting mine for free.
There were two people with us that gave Niantic at least $30 each for Goomy. They did every Goomy they saw. Oh, look, at Mall of America, Goomies were filling to 20 instantly, single time. It was the biggest scam in the entire world, because, again, we
just
all
just gotta get
know
that shiny early.
We all
you're still
know
getting it early.
Goomy Community Day is coming. I didn't do a... I did one Goomy raid, and it was only because I was sitting on my butt, I was super tired, and I had my free raid pass or whatever. That was the only one I did. But my shiny Goomy I got from the little research, and then I caught every Goomy during whatever. Mm-hmm. I think it was like the blue hour Goomies appeared. But again, for the showcase, I was like number 63 in the showcase. And I was like, hopefully by the end of the 6 hours, I can go up. And I made it up to 32, because I kept catching more Goomies. And like, I think it's great. I think showcases are so cool. I just kind of wish there was... It's cool once you get into it, but if you don't get into that showcase, you feel...
Mm-hmm.
You feel like everyone is in like this club that you didn't get invited to. It sucks. Like, that was me in Japan. I was like, I never got into a showcase in Japan, and I was so salty the entire time. I was so mad. Japanese people are way too fast. They're on top of it. They're like scouting it out. Like, there was a showcase outside of my hotel for Worlds, and I'm like, okay, cool. The showcase starts at like 10. I like got out of the shower. It's like 10:04. Completely filled. 150 people within 4 minutes. Filled. It wasn't even near the convention center. It was on the opposite side. Like, they just filled it instantly. And then I had to suffer the next 8 hours knowing that whatever this showcase, like Bellsprout or something outside of my hotel, was like, yep, I wish I was in there. Can't. Because I'd be catching whatever Pokemon it is all day to make sure I could get number one. Like, showcases are so cool, but like the limit is, like, I understand the limit. If you don't live in a big city, I'm sure it's great.
It's got to be great.
It's got to be great.
I traveled 50 miles for this showcase.
You're like in Appleton, Wisconsin. There's like 4 people in the showcase, and you're like, this is great. Easy for me to get to number one. Anyways, Niantic should do more of that stuff, because we can't rely on raids forever. The showcase stuff is, I don't know, maybe somebody's listening and is like, I hate showcases. I think they're awesome. I think they're really cool.
I just think there need to be more of them. I still don't see them frequently enough.
Yeah. And you can only be in 3 showcases, so even if, like, there was, like, 6 at a park, like, that should give more opportunities to people to be in them, ideally. I don't know how showcases are determined. I guess the last thing would be routes. Again, we talk about how community days have been the same and how like some of these events have been the same, but I guess this is the first global GoFest that was collection challenge, incense thing, raids, rotating habitats, showcases, and routes. Routes are still kind of bad.
Routes
They're
are bad.
They're still very broken.
Routes
They're
are
not
bad.
Fixed. I think it's a good idea. I like the idea, but
on
they're not,
paper,
they don't work.
Good. In execution, maybe having
bad.
Maybe having a person walk around a park and then end that route in the middle of the lake where I watched Greg and two other people walk onto a deck.
Walk out on the dock.
The dock.
Look, the dock was safe.
And I thought one of you guys were going to fall in. That dock was super shaky.
That's what docks are.
Yeah.
good docks aren't shaky.
It was shaky. And there was no was handles. There were like
floating?
Little poles coming out of the ground that Greg grabbed onto, but there was like no handles. I thought Greg was going in.
No, I have lived on a lake my entire life. I'm not falling off a dock.
There was one person at our party that was like, they canceled the route. They were like, I'm not walking on the dock.
Mm-hmm.
There are two types of docks. There are the more permanent wood ones that take a lot of time and they have to be put in. And they aren't particularly movable. So if anything goes wrong, you're kind of stuck in that position. At Centennial Lakes, they have wooden planks like that go out and then they attach floating docks. So they are
plastic
anchored
ones.
In the ground. They are big, giant plastic cubes. They are completely safe. They are anchored in. They aren't going anywhere, but they do move little bit.
Too much.
Because they are giant floating crates that can be moved to meet their needs.
Greg
but they are perfectly
seconds
safe.
Seconds of going overboard.
I was nowhere near close to going overboard.
I was like, Greg, it's not worth it for the Zygarde cell. Don't do it.
And we didn't even get
Did
a Zygarde
get,
cell.
Yeah, that's the thing.
No one
I've
got
still
a
never
Zygarde
seen
cell.
One.
Nobody got it. I've never. I'm like, you know what? Forget this. Like, at least I risked life and limb going out on death dock for no good reason.
There,
I didn't
you
even get
completed
a Zygarde
a route.
Cell.
And I think that counts towards a medal.
There are six routes at Mall of America. They're all just circles. They all start at random places.
Places and end in a circle. It's so dumb.
Like,
great.
Like, the routes are so good on, like, there should only be, like, one route at Mall of America. It should be, like, start at this point, do the route, and like the Mall of America is just a giant circle with a huge amusement park in the middle. You can't really get that creative with a route. Like,
yeah,
I mean, I would think it would be interesting if they did a route through the amusement park and hitting like, here's where you find Swiper and here's where you find these.
But routes aren't that complicated. You can't set
but,
points of interest.
Yeah,
you can only
but
do
you can't
start to
do
finish.
That.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I still don't know which is the start flag color and which is the stop flag color because it doesn't tell you. And it asks you, do you want to reverse it? And I don't know because I don't know where the actual start is. Surely the start can't be in the middle of the lake. So I'm assuming that's the end, which is also a problem. But like the one we did that we tried to do at Stone Arch. It's like, we'll go to the start, but you're not telling me which flag is the start. Like, you're not telling me which, and you're just saying, or do you want to reverse the route? Like, well, I don't know, because
they've
I don't know what the start is.
They've added some arrows before you start
the
route.
The arrows help.
The arrows help a little bit. I submitted a route after I complained about my first two submitted ones not working within 2 hours. I submitted another
help.
One. And it hasn't gotten approved.
Yeah, the arrows help if you can find the start. Because the arrows only extend from the start so far. So if you're in the middle of the route and you're looking, and you're like, okay, I'm in the blank area. I still don't know which flag I need to go to see the arrows. And I have to accept the route to see the arrows because your preview doesn't tell me. So what am I supposed to do
I have,
here?
I have no insider info, but I would assume that the Wayfair program will probably eventually extend to routes and have like a review process, because like you can rate a route. Like I did the Mall of America one, and it was a circle, and it wasn't even a complete circle. It was like 80% the circle. Like just finish the circle. It's Mall of America. Like you start at this entrance, just walk all the way around, and then all stop right at the entrance. Like that would make the most sense. But there were six of them, and they were all just sloppily made. Like they were like the titles were really bad, really vague. They weren't. And the same thing at Centennial Lakes. Like you popped it up, and there was like eight. And people are probably listening and be like, "You got eight routes at like we got none here." Yeah, I mean, yeah, we've got eight bad ones. Like they. They're impossible to follow. I don't know if the person was using like a Nokia cell phone from like 1992 to like GPS track this. Like, I don't know how this happened.
In my experience, the ones that I put a lot of effort into making and put a lot of effort into writing the descriptions on just don't get approved.
Yeah,
so maybe that's...
I've made two routes, right? Like I made one at Stone Arch, still under review to this day. And then I made one in Japan. I went to this cat shrine. It's like an hour and a half outside of Tokyo. It's the shrine that has all the little kitty cats. Like, it's a 10-minute walk from the train station. When you get off the train, you see a giant cat. Like, you can't miss it. And then you walk straight for 8 minutes. You take a left turn. You walk another 2 minutes. And you're there. You're at the shrine. And I was like, you know what? This would be a good route. For anyone being like, is there any Pokemon Go out here? Sure is. We'll take you right to the cat shrine. What a good route. It's reversible. You can go from the shrine to back to the train station, or you can go to the train station to the shrine. Reversible, all that. But for both routes, I thought about the five tags to use. Like I did dog friendly for the one in Minnesota because there was a lot of dogs on that route. Did not do dog friendly for the one in Japan. Not a lot of dogs in Japan. Like I thought about the tags. I like made sure the capitalization was correct. In Japan, sometimes there's like a lot of hyphens or a lot of like Japanese Pokemon E's. It's not a Japanese Pokemon E, but you know, everyone knows exactly what I'm saying. The little accent above the E. So I like made sure I went to Google Maps and like made sure the typing and the lettering was right to name it. Thought about the description. Every single route in Mall of America or Centennial Lakes. Who knows what they named it? This is like Billy Hanks boat route. Start in the ocean, end over here by this tree. No description, no tags. Who's making this stuff?
It's not great.
They're all bad.
It's not great.
Yeah, you.
Well,
think-
the problem that we had, it was like we were like, well, which route are near? I'm like, it's called Centennial Lakes Loop. It was like, there are four of these. I'm like, yeah, well, I can't tell you which one of those to pick. I picked one. Maybe we're on
Centennial
the same one.
Centennial is also spelled wrong. I'm like,
Centennial is also
them.
Spelled wrong on a bunch of them. Also, I can't tell you where the start is because I don't know.
To be fair, Centennial's kind of a hard word to spell. To be
it's
fair.
Not that hard. It's not. It's not.
A little tough. It's a long word.
I mean, there are spell checkers on your phone. Like,
I would just expect the reviewing to be a little bit more discerning, considering it's not on Wayfarer yet.
Yeah, you can give it a 1 to 5 star at the end. I don't know if that's actually doing anything.
Oh, I gave the one that had me end in the middle of the lake a 1 star.
Yeah, I gave the Mall America one a 1 star because I was like, this is a bad loop. I actually don't remember what it was even called. There was no tags.
It was called Bad Loop.
Ooh. overall, though, I think Global Go Fest was really good. I had a good time. I'm glad they didn't do only Rayquaza. For the second day, there was still Goomy, there was still Pikachu, there was still Carbink.
I mean, there was only Rayquaza for me.
It would have been nice. I know, I think Groudon and Kyogre were there for the first hour of everyone's day. It would be nice to have a little variety, like maybe like, hey, Rayquaza takes a break for an hour of these 8 hours and Kyogre Groudon comes back. I don't know. It feels like it gets a free pass compared to Nihiligo last year because, like, it's Rayquaza and it could be mega and it can be shiny, but it was, like, still kind of the same thing as last year where it was, like, one Pokemon dominating raids and it was, like...
You need all the mega energy, though.
You do. You need so much mega energy. So, like, Rayquaza, and again, it gets a free pass because everyone likes Rayquaza. Like, man, the Ultra Beast thing was so disappointing of like, it's not an egg, it's a wormhole, but it's the same thing. Here's 8 hours of a new Pokemon that can't be shiny and it's not good for anything. Cool.
Pretty much.
Thanks.
This one was good though, and let's see if they can keep that momentum going.
I don't know how they top it besides bringing back all the legendaries again. I don't know if there's like a legendary that's cool enough.
Mega Mewtwo.
You know,
that's
you get
that's
two gonna... of them. You get two of them.
That's still got to show up, and yeah. They're definitely saving it for something.
That's true. Mega Mewtwo would be a good one. I think like having a Go Fest that's like all the Tapus would be like a good variety, but they've already turned the Tapus shiny, and I don't think any of them are particularly good or exciting, like raid wise. Like, I think Zekrom outclasses Coco. I think Kartana outclasses Bulu.
I know I've seen Feeny get some use in PvP, but that might have been a personal choice.
Yeah. Like, Rayquaza has a lot of utility on top of just being popular.
Especially with its Mega.
Yeah.
Also, I guess we'll end on this note. I feel bad for people who had to do these mega raids with like 6, 7, or 8 people. It's doable for sure, definitely, but man, what a slog. Like even with Rayquaza or Groudon or Kyogre, like I'm still burning through potions and revives because they just hit so hard. Like I cannot imagine somebody living in Springfield, Illinois. That was my second city besides Appleton, Wisconsin. That's like every Groudon they do is like 7 people and they're just...
Groudon was the easy one though.
Groudon is the easier one, yeah.
Yeah.
Like
Kyogre and Rayquaza.
Like the...
those were just
the
slugs.
First day, Saturday, like when people were inviting me to Kyogre and I would join, remote raid join in, and I was like, oh, you got 9 people here? No, thank you. like, I know it's doable, but you're going to eat about 6 minutes of my time. Because
yeah, I got invited to one Kyogre and I think we had 6 people, maybe 7, took all the way through. We had 15 seconds left.
Yeah, it went all the way through and you probably went through like 12 Pokemon.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Was down to my 4th team.
Like, yeah, they definitely made raids a lot tougher. By tougher, you are.
But you can catch them more easily. Yeah. That counts. That helps.
So yeah, I just hear that's me saying I feel bad for not being in 20. Move to the city.
It's a city game now.
At least for the big events.
I'm sure we're forgetting some things. They announced a lot of community days coming up.
They announced a new Pokemon.
Yeah.
Oh, we can talk about that next week.
I won't be here and I love it.
I also love it. It's so good.
Everybody needs to understand that I love it. Also, did I tell you that? That my husband's favorite Pokemon is Sinistee, and this has shocked my world because I didn't know he changed.
What was it before?
Oddish.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I mean, he still really likes Oddish, but he changed it to Sinistee, and he didn't even tell me.
Okay, we can talk about the new Pokemon. I don't like it.
What?
Really?
We're done. Shut the show down. We're gone. You are the worst. Your taste is terrible. Why do you even exist?
I like Sinistee a lot. Sinistee is an amazing Pokemon. I absolutely love Sinistee. I don't really like Poltegeist, though. Like, it's fine. I don't have any... thing wrong with Poltegeist, but it's like how, you know, people love Charizard, but they don't care about Charmeleon. That's how I feel about Sinistee. Yeah.
But they're likening this new one to Sinistee. I know it's named Poltegeist.
Yeah, it gives me more Poltegeist vibe. It's because it's big, you know? Like, Poltegeist is bigger.
It's not that big. It's a little tiny.
It also killed a bunch of kids.
Tiny. It's cute. A little teacup.
I took a class that was a Japanese tea ceremony class in college, and so I'm just super happy for this Pokemon. It has the little tea scoop. It has the little chashaku.
Mm-hmm.
It's wonderful. It's adorable, and I want to see if it evolves. I'm just happy it exists.
It's
no, incredible. I think it's a very cool Pokemon. I just not, just, you know, not, it's like a top 700 Pokemon for me.
Ouch.
Sinistee, probably like a top 20 for me.
It also does the Japanese crack art, the golden art repair
Kintsugi.
Thing, which is outstanding.
With the matcha.
It's so deeply steeped in Japanese lore and everything. Like, it's so on point. Also, you know, we have another video of a bunch of kids getting murdered by Pokemon, and
yeah,
I'm
this is
here
their new
for
advertising
it.
Tactic.
We don't know 100% if they're murdered.
We do.
Their life force is depleted. Maybe
their
not completely.
Well, okay, Hannah, let me ask you this question. When your life force is depleted, what are you?
Very tired.
Very tired.
Dead.
Hey, it's
you
not
have
a drowsy.
No, depleted means it's gone. You're dead.
They're not sleeping.
I like his little hospitality ability. I don't know how useful it is, but I think it's cute and fitting on theme.
It's like Regenerator, except you're bringing it in to heal the thing next to you instead of like Amoongus or what's the other Pokemon that has a Regenerator? They switch out and they come back in with more health. I don't know if that matters so much. If it doesn't seem like it would be as consistent as an Amoongus. Also, Amoongus gets the benefit of just like being a very bulky Pokemon on top of that and having like a good type combination. But you'd have to see what like its moves are. I think the other thing that like it's fine, it's okay, but like grass ghost or ghost grass is used a lot.
It's not used a lot. There are five.
With evolutions.
Yeah.
They're a fair amount, but I'm not unhappy about that. Then again, I'm also someone who likes firefighting. So
yeah, like let's talk about firefighting for a second.
But it's like
there's
another grass ghost. Okay,
it's a cool looking Pokemon. It's very on theme.
It's amazing,
and it means that there's no matcha allowed in all of Kitakami because matcha is a bad omen because of this Pokemon and. I'm not sure how I feel about that, but it's at least amusing.
Yeah, do we think it's going to evolve, or do we think there's going to be a... Do we think that this is a final form, or do we think it's going to evolve?
The only thing that makes me think this is its final form is how often they showed a cracked cup being repaired. Like, in all of the video, they kept focusing on a cracked cup. And it could be saying that it's similar to Sinistee, but it's really weird to have done that much focus on a cracked cup being repaired for that not to exist in the game.
I've seen some good mock-ups of really neat evolutions, but I don't necessarily think they would be real. I want it to evolve.
Okay, final question. Do we think there's going to be an authentic and phony version?
Yes, I think there will be.
I don't think it's the little dots on its forehead.
I don't think it's the dots on its forehead, but I do think
that was already proven to be.
Yeah.
That was the lighting.
Yeah. A
I don't
seal
know
on the bottom.
Would. Maybe it would. Maybe it would.
If it is, I hope it's easier to see.
It's 11 o'clock. I need to go to bed. Well, I need to edit this. Then I need to go to bed. So I have more to say about the whole Polcha guys, is that how you say it?
Mm-hmm.
But we can do that next week. Greg got his opinion out. And now we know that his husband's favorite Pokemon is Sinistee.
Yeah.
Breaking news.
Breaking news. It was breaking news to me.
Also, just real big thanks to everyone who was in New York. I know I was kind of low energy, but the community is wonderful. And thank you. Thanks to everyone. It was great.
Yeah, it sounded like a good time. I'm very bummed I missed the New York experience.
You were there.
That's
you were
true.
There.
Yeah, I was very happy there.
It was great to see you there.
I got
both of you.
Thanks for everyone who took pictures of me. I appreciate it. My favorite part was standing in the crystal. I really like
that. I liked getting my superpowers from standing in the hot crystal. It's all super power rangered up.
Okay, we will be back next week. No Greg, though, because he'll be in Atlanta. I will be back, though. I will be back from Seattle before Monday to record the podcast. So no worries there. We'll probably get Bobby on. If we can't get Bobby, we'll get Budget Bobby.
We'll get Budget Bobby. If you're at Dragon Con, come say hi to me. A person that was saying something at the mall today, but I couldn't hear them because my hearing's bad in a large crowded office. So whoever that was, hi. Steve, you pointed them out, and I'm like, I still can't hear you. I'm like, it's too loud in here.
Yeah, there were a couple people at the park that said hi to me and Greg and at the mall. So thank you. I hope you got all the shinies you wanted. I got all the Pikachu. That's all that mattered for me. Okay, we'll be back next week. Thank you, Hannah. Thank you, Greg. This has been another episode of the Pokemon Podcast, and we are
super effective.
Tired, but happy from Go Fest. Super effective.
This podcast is brought to you by Patreon. A huge shout out to our producers over on Patreon, starting with Kay, Catherine, Stuart, Tony, Matthew, Casey, Brady, Jessica, Spencer, Brian, Bovine, Steven, Chris, Josh, Fumes, and Yarny. A huge shout out to all of them. If you too would like to support us on Patreon, you can head over to patreon.com/PKMNCAST to support the show, and we will see you next week.
Go spread the word. When you get a fresh, hot McCrispy from McDonald's and you can feel the heat coming through the bag, don't try to wait till you get home. Always respect hot chicken. The McCrispy, only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.